Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome back to Fourth Down Focus, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. I am Dan Lundy, host of the podcast and founder of Fourth Down University, a company focused on the training and development of coaches, kickers, punters, and snappers. Today's show is brought to you by Bet Online. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And the only place you should be betting on these sports is at betonline.ag. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. BetOnline has hundreds of props with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine. And of course, there's an online casino 24 hours a day. Head to the website or use your phone to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your sportsbook experts. Episode 25 of the podcast welcomes Ricardo Allen, a current NFL free agent who played the last seven seasons for the Atlanta Falcons. Since 2015, Allen has started in 76 games for Atlanta, recording 340 tackles, 11 interceptions, and one sack. He was a four-time team captain, and in 2019, Allen was named the Falcons' nominee for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. A leader in the locker room and his community, Allen was one of the driving forces behind the Falcons' Social Justice Committee, addressing social justice issues in Atlanta. Having known Ricardo for 15-plus years, it's been a privilege to see his growth, both as a player and, more importantly, as a person. I'm excited to catch up with him and talk about his story and plans moving forward. How you doing, Rico?
Doing pretty good, brother. How about you?
I'm just really excited to have you on, you know, tell your story a little bit. I don't think a lot of people really know how I know you. So thanks again for taking this time. I know it's a hectic time as free agency's around and the off season is your time for your family, but I just want to start by saying a big thank you for your time.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you, man. You know, I'm always willing to do some stuff with you, man. You're my guy. So I appreciate you, man. You always help me out, you know, going through my path and coming up. So, man, it's always a good one to get with you. So I appreciate you having me on.
Agreed. You know, I've known Ricardo since he was a high schooler. He played at Mandan High School where I taught, and I was also a student at one point. And it's been a long time since those days. And it's just been neat seeing his ride and his life experiences. So many people are probably wondering, why is Ricardo Allen on a podcast that is special teams driven? You know, so would you mind explaining to the audience what special teams means to you and how it was probably a little bit of a catalyst in your career?
Yeah, man. Man, special teams is kind of like the foundation of like who I am, in a sense of like when I first started playing football. I started playing football in high school. So like going into, you know, school like Mainland High School, you know, who, you know, always have, you know, players, you, they're always stacked at skilled players, you know, going to, you know, top college, you know, Division I places. So just being a guy who never played organized football before, coming out there, it wasn't just a walk in the park. It wasn't, I was good in the backyard, but just getting out there, just playing against, you know, the guys that's come from my town, it wasn't like that, man. I had a fast learning curve I had to get used to. But one of the things that always gave me a chance to still be able to grow and give myself a chance to be around long enough to, you know, develop my skills and, you know, develop, you know, the experience of being on the field was, you know, learning my mistakes from my mistakes on special teams, you know. And, you know, special teams, you don't get another chance. Like, you don't get very many chances to do it again. You get one shot, you know. Sometimes as a DB, you can get another chance. You get your chance in that drive, but as a special teams, you go out there, you get one shot to go make your play, and you got one time. And if you want to stand out, you have to be ready for your opportunity. And that kind of, you know, it's grit out there. There's a lot of people that's just trying to go out there and get it, man. You got a lot of real good football players out there playing some special teams. They ain't really thinking out there. They just running and hitting and blocking, and there's some players out there. But man, I like special teams, man.
Yeah, I think you can attest to this, that you really have to earn your keep, especially when you transition to like a major FBS program. I don't care how many stars you've collected from how many different experts, but you're pretty much going to have to be a contributor there first, unless you are, you know, a dime a dozen, you know, a Frank Gore that I can recall, they really kept him off teams. But a lot of those kids, like John Vilma at Miami that I was with, DJ Williams, they weren't expendable.
Man, Ezekiel Elliott, when we played against them down at when they played against us actually at Purdue, and they had Carlos Hyde as the running back. Ezekiel Elliott was running down on special teams. He's running down on kickoff. Gosh. He was like, and he was making plays too. Like he hit one of our players pretty hard, and I didn't know who it was, but later on, just looking back, you see it was number 15. I'm like, man, like this dude was playing special teams. Like it is what it is. It's like we got a lot of dudes that make it to the NFL because of the way they play on special teams. Because everybody not Julio Jones, straight up. Like it ain't many people. It's only one ball. Like it was a special teams coach that straight up said it. Like you come to these teams and everybody just like you was the guy that got 100 targets at, you know, your college because you were good. Like you come on a team with Julio Jones on there, who you think they gonna throw the ball to?
Absolutely, you're right. I mean, yeah, it's a great way to look at it. There's one ball and there's 22 people playing at the same time. You know, you got to be selfish when you get it too. But yeah, I couldn't imagine. As much as Ezekiel Elliott brings it offensively to a defender, I couldn't imagine him in a special team setting in open space without the ball in his hands. I mean, he would kill someone.
Yeah.
Anyway, reckless. I'd love to have him as a teamer, but yeah, I wanted to transition to a little bit about your attitude, you know, because it's how you, in my opinion, that's why you are where you are. Mm-hmm. Is because of the way you approach things and the way you deal with things, more importantly. So we're going to talk about that at length today. I've enjoyed following you, of course, but since your playing days at Mainland, I want to say that the one thing my takeaway is that you avoid complacency and you take pride in being the hardest worker in the room. I think many athletes, especially the elite ones, they share the trait of hard work. I think that everyone is, it's almost implied that yes, you've had to grind to get there, of course. But I wanted to ask you, what are some other essential traits in being a successful athlete?
Yeah, I would say being a learner, you know, I think that's one of my biggest attributes I can say is that like I'm a learner. I'm always willing to go into something as if I've never learned it before. I'm willing to listen to anybody and listen to anybody in the way that they see it from their eyes, so that like I don't feel that I understand, you know, every angle to it. You know, I don't think there's like one single path to success. So there's always going to be ways that people come from different angles of the world. You know, I come from the hood and my wife comes from, you know, the suburbs, and the way sometimes we see things are totally different, but we can find a way to look at it, you know, and we can find a way to like come in between and see it all the same in a sense. So I'm always finding a way to like look at everything from someone else's angle. And just another one is just being adaptable. You know, it's being able to really like form and be whatever is needed. Like I don't have an ego that, you know, I'll be the janitor of the room. You know, if it was a businessman, like I can be the janitor to the CEO. So it doesn't bother me to have to, you know, step back and sometimes come down to a smaller level, or to, you know, step in front of the room and be the one that lead it. So it's like I'm able to, you know, play all different roles, and I'm always just grinding, man. You know, I'm always just at it. It's just like I'm always looking for another way to take it to another level. Like I study the best of the best in the world at, you know, what they do, and the common trait is they efficient with their time, and you know, they don't have very many friends and stuff like that. They don't have very much going on, but
amen.
Hey man, you know, they enjoy what they're doing, like, you know, and they enjoy trying to master it. And I understand the rule of 10,000 hours. And I understand that, you know, whatever you spend a lot of time doing, you become a master in it, and you become, you know, one of the best at it. And that's just the way of it. You can't skip the grind. So, you know, you just got to stay at it consistently. Like Tom Brady life is, you know, all his decisions are revolved around, you know, football, like the way that he eats, the way that he sleeps, the way that he, you know, goes by his days. all is revolved around being a better football player. And that's exactly how Kobe was. So you have to learn to integrate like your life to be, you know, what the end goal of what you want it to be.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head in a thousand different ways. But if I could sum it up, I think that humility is a key word that would sum up what you said is although I might be an expert by a lot of people's standards, someone else that's also an expert in that same thing has a different viewpoint, has a paradigm that might be a little different than mine because of a thousand different variables. So I'd be foolish to think that I know everything about any subject. So I think you're right. Because if we think we're an expert and, or we think we know it all, or we think we've made it per se, you're going to be stagnant and someone's going to continue to grow right past you. And it's almost too late because it's almost habitual at that point. You got to create the habits. I think you got to remind yourself and you got to check your ego, you know?
Exactly.
Because we all have an ego, and I think Ricardo Allen does too, but I think you do a great job of probably repeatedly reminding yourself where you came from. Yeah. and how you got where you are, you know?
Exactly.
I don't think people are given a gift the rest of their life just because of the work they did before. I think they have to continuously maintain, you know?
Exactly. And that's how you stay at the top of your game.
I love what you said. So I listened to All In with the Allens.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. My wife's been bugging me to catch up on it. So I actually, thankfully, she's like, you got to hear the most recent one. So it was on distractions. You know, I know it was about a couple different subjects, yeah. But what I really took away from it was the distractions that are all around us, especially in our hands. Mm-hmm. And, on your show, you know, you also discuss like challenging things, especially challenging yourself, yeah. And being a better parent. I noticed that you're reading incessantly, yeah. Anything you can get your hands on just to grow mentally. And, you know, you're even involved in the stock market. Now, I was a finance major in college, and, you know, I'm a very conservative investor, but I think it's fascinating. You know, I see you learning and growing in several ways, and I want to know, I want to know, like, how do you remain focused on what is in fact important, and why do you think it's essential to put these first things first?
I can tell you the way I really stay focused on, you know, what is priority, you know, priorities all the time is, I write them down like every day. Like it's like one of the main things that I do all the time, especially, you know, during the off season, you know, as a athlete, you know, majority of the time we are very like scheduled, you know, majority of the time we always have something going on. So, but in the off season, there's, you know, you can really just sit around and kind of let time go by. And that's something that I make sure that I don't. And, you know, I got three babies and I have a wife, so I want to, you know, that's big on my, that's top of my list right there is because I'm a family man for sure. And I love my family. So I got to spend that, you know, time, you know, I got to make sure I always get my prayer in and stuff like that. But the way I always do it is I wake up and I write it down, and I'm always writing down. So I even write it down to like almost to a T, like what I'm going to do. Like I'm going to wake up and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to drink my water, and then I'm going to meditate, and then I'm going to brush my teeth. And then I know I probably should brush my teeth before I meditate, but it's yeah, I know, but I'm going to meditate, and then I'm going to go, you know, brush my teeth, and then I'm going to walk my dog, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get on my Peloton, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to work out. And then when I get done with that, I'm going to start checking the stock market. So around that time, cause I wake up around like 4:30, 5 o'clock. So around that time is around like 8 o'clock, 8:30, you know, in between that time, my wife is, I'm supposed to be helping with the kids, but my wife is typically doing all the stuff with the kids. But long story short is I write it down all the time. So it has to, it becomes like a routine. So like, I'm always trying to stick on to it. And even if I sometimes wake up a little bit late, like I know what part of my routine I can get right to. And the reason that I know what my priorities are is I'm always talking to my wife. I'm always asking to her, like, what is important? Like, what is important to us? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what is important to us? Is it important to us to leave our kids so much money that, like, we don't even know what to do with it, you know? Like, is that important? Or is it important to, you know, get comfortable and then, you know, spend time with each other? You know, do we want to retire early and then sit around and do nothing? Do we want to, you know, work? You know, how much is working too much? How much is not working enough, you know? So it's like, we always asking each other questions to try to like figure out like what we want to do. And then, you know, by asking each other those questions, we always able to, you know, build the path together, because that's what it's about.
Well, I like what you said, and I'll admit that I do one of the two things you just said. I let my wife coach me up. You know, she definitely mm-hmm. puts me in line, and she's like, this is first, this is second, you got to do this tomorrow. I love that about her. I admittedly read an article the other day, and it's funny you mentioned writing things down. Is they said that the brain responds, generally speaking, most of us, if we do in fact write a simple list at the start of our day, it's not assuring that we're going to get that list done, but it does something. It almost imprints in our brains that like these things are like on the forefront, and it almost puts us in ease of mind subconsciously. We're not as anxious because you almost have circulating thoughts if you don't write them down, right? Because you want to remember them. And then it really takes you away from your focus, which is most important. So I think that's a practice that we all should try, is just maybe start small, maybe write two or three of the most important things down. We don't have to have Ricardo Allen's itinerary just yet, but I love what you said, bro. I mean, I think it's, you have to start, first of all, you have to start with the fundamentals, just like anything. Cause if you start with Ricardo Allen's itinerary, no one's going to do that tomorrow. But I think if you list a couple things, it might catch on, right? And I'm kind of coaching myself up here because I am going to start writing more things down. I want to give a shout out to our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare, dead stock, or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to cop your pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, and stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also provides sellers with a verified return process. For sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers of $100+, making it free to sell or flip your collection. Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. So I'm going to get a little bit more of some challenging questions now, but you know, I think people like to hear about the good and the bad, right? So 2020, of course, collectively was rough. And 2021, in my opinion, is just, you know, it's going to be a continuation. We're going to get through all this mess, but you know, we're still in it. It's been challenging for everyone. And I don't think you're a stranger to adversity. Your response to this adversity, to these tough situations in life, I think your response has always been commendable. I think this year has been especially tough for you outside of the pandemic, of course, because you had a loss in your family. And you're also currently going through a professional transition. You know, you're going to be a free agent, or you are a free agent, and you're going to be playing for a new team. So I'd like you to, if you can, explain to the audience. I knew you as a kid and you handled things well. And I know you as an adult. And I think in college, you know, you were away from home. You had nobody. My mom came to watch some of your football games. She's like, you know, I think it meant a lot because I don't think a lot of people get to come see him play. And it's just, you've never had it easy. And I know some things are bigger than others as far as adversity, but would you mind talking about how you handle adversity and why it's important to find a way out of a negative mindset?
I think, you know, like adversity is like one of the, I guess like one of the easiest ways that you can prove something to yourself, because like when adversity hits, man, I don't know. I've always been through adversity. Like even when I first started playing football, man, I've always just like, even just like the body style that I have, like the body type that I have, like, I'm not like a first pick. Like I'm not like the person that you look out there and you're like, when people walk past me, and even when people still come to my house and they work on my house sometimes, and they look at me and they like, you know, like, do an athlete, you know, stay here or something. And it's funny. It's funny because like when they look at me, most people would never think I'm an athlete. And it's kind of like a blessing because I can get through the world and, you know, I don't like look like 6'5" and stuff like that. But you know, long story short is I've always been kind of like overlooked. So like I had to kind of get used to it. And my wife kind of said it's sad because I kind of like have calloused up and I'm kind of used to adversity. But man, you just gotta bring it on, because it's gonna come. It ain't like you can tell it not to come. So the one thing about life is we know that adversity is going to hit. And, you know, it's one of those times that you can prove it to yourself. Or you can say that, like, man, I'm going to make it out of this. And it makes you stronger. You know, it doesn't. Is it fun during the times going through it? No, not at all. Like, you would rather be in a better position anytime. Yeah, like, if you can wish for a better position, would you be in one? Yes, for sure. But at those times, you're like, hey, let's get it. It is what it is. And I believe in my foundation. I got a strong foundation. I know who I am. Like, I'm always working. Like, I know that if an opportunity was to present itself, I would be ready for it. So, you know, that's never like the fear of it.
I have a question, though. Do you think, because this is me looking on, you know, I wasn't super close to you at 15, and I got a little close to you as you got a little older. My perception of you was that you probably drew strengths from the right people, even though, you know, you may not have had 20 family members that you could rely on. Have you always been resourceful with, like, human beings, and maybe not necessarily blood, but people in your environment that you see on a daily basis? Did you draw strengths from the right people?
Yes, that's I always had really good mentors. Like, I always had really good people, you know, even if, like I said, like, I learn from anyone. I can learn, even if, you know, someone, you know, may not think that, because a person might not have, like, one of the coolest jobs in the world, or, you know, they might not be to a level of status or something like that in the world, you know, that meant nothing to me. Like, I had really good people leading me just on, like, principles and morals and how I should, you know, be seen in the world. And my mom was, a single parent mom that, you know, woke up every day. She raised, you know, four kids on her own. And she woke up every day and grind and got it and never complained. And, you know, times were tough, but, you know, we got through it. And, you know, when I got to Mainland, I ended up bumping into you. I ended up bumping into, you know, my brother PJ. He was like, you know, one of, like, the father figures in my life that kind of, you know, helped guide me and, you know, tell me, because you guys were older than me. Y'all had already been through the college thing. So y'all were able to, you know, help guide me when I had questions and stuff like that. And like I said, I've always been a learner. So I can learn from someone else's, you know, passes, their trials and tribulations. Like, I don't have to, you know, walk across the street and get hit by a car to know, like, I shouldn't, you know, walk out there without looking, you know, both ways. So, like, I've always taken that way of learning to, you know, every approach to the game. If you hear something, you know, more times than not, you should probably listen to it, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, you know, they're telling you that, you know, more times than not, if you work and you grind and you stay out of the parties and you just keep working and working and working, majority of the time you're gonna keep getting better. Like, I chose that path other than, you know, trying to figure out the other way.
Yeah, it's those coaches and teachers and just adults in your life when you're an adolescent that aren't the ones who don't try and be your friend are generally the ones that are in it for your best interest. Like, looking back, you know, I may have thought an older guy was cool. Oh, this guy wants to hang out with me. It was usually, I was a means to an end. You know, he wanted something in some way from me. And, like, looking back, it's nice that I was able to acknowledge that, although that this guy, whoever he was super hard on me at all times, like, man, he made me grow. You know, he was a second father. And I had a few of those like you did, and I'm thankful for him. And they came in the form of coaches most often, but not always. You know, there was a couple of teachers and administrators and stuff. But no, I thank you for sharing that. And I'll end it with a little bit of a lighter question. This is our last question of the night. My wife and Ricardo went to Holly Hill Middle School together, small world. The other day we're washing dishes and I was like, hey, my next guest is Ricardo Allen this week. And she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, I don't know if he remembers, but, you know, I used to play gator ball with him at PE. And I remember I learned really quickly that if I got possession of the ball to find Ricardo, give it to him. So, man, I don't know if you remember those days at all, but I thought that was an awesome story.
Man, I remember the Holly Hill days. That was a real deal. It's crazy. I knew her all the way from back then. She's probably one of my longest, like, friends that I've known, like, in my whole life. That's crazy. But yeah, back in the day, I wasn't as athletic as I as I think I am now. But yeah, I could get it done.
Yeah, she said you move well, but you know, like, I don't know. She probably didn't. She got a little faster in high school too. But no, I just think it's a small world, and I wanted to share, you know, I've known you indirectly, directly, so many ways, because we're from the same town, and it's just nice to have you come back every once in a while, and especially, you know, for our RA37 camp we put on for you each year. Oh, yeah. It's a neat thing, and it's generated a lot of buzz, and it's actually brought some cohesiveness. You know, Deltona is a good example, which is a town that neighbors Daytona. After that event last year with Ricardo, their whole team is really tight with Seabreeze, and they'll do things, you know, in the off season together that they've never done before. So that's the purpose, in my opinion, is something that, you know, I didn't get to experience. I never got to have an NFL player host a free camp in Daytona. I was coming up. So yeah. I thought it was a no-brainer, and I thought you were the perfect person for it. So,
and I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for doing that with me all these years, for real.
You always made it so easy, man. You always, you know, helped do all the behind-the-scenes thing. You always kind of, like, made it so easy. I just kind of showed up and, you know, took care of the kids. So I appreciate you, man. It was always fun. That was always fun. And we're going to get back to that as soon as this mess, you know, get out of the way. So, yeah, man. But it was crazy because we ended up doing it right before all of it ended up going down. And that ended up, we always did it at everybody always thought we did it at, like, a weird time, because we was always the only one that did, like, our camp. What was it, usually February, March?
Yeah, end of February, early March, you know. Because I remember that one year we did it in February, and you had a Super Bowl, and you had to come 5 days right after the game.
It's like that. But, hey, man, you got to show up. The kids out there.
Yeah. Talk about adversity. You had a big old smile on your face, and you acted like you didn't just lose the biggest game of your life. You did it. I mean, it's just,
man,
it
teach you something, man. Sometimes you got to – well, you can't hide from it. It is what it is. Like, you got to take it. You know, if you're going to be happy with the – if you're going to be able to cheer and you're going to be able to smile with the good, you better be able to smile with the bad. It is what it is. It's like the stock market. Like you said, I learned about the stock market. It's up and down. It's just like life, man. You know, it's up and down. It's highs and lows. You got to take it, man. If everything was – think about it. If everything was just good all the time, you'd probably be numb. You'd probably be tired of being happy all the time. You probably want some bad stuff to happen just so you could have, like, a peak in something.
I don't think you'd know what happiness was, right? I mean, if you were always happy, it wouldn't mean anything. It'd be meaningless. It wouldn't even be a word. You have a good point. I want to thank you again, and I want to make sure – what is your Twitter handle? I like to give the audience a way to follow you.
I don't even get on Twitter.
Oh, you don't?
I'm more of an Instagram, so it's kind of the same. I get what you're saying. I think I'm Ricardo. I'm Ricardo 37 Allen, something like that. Just Ricardo. Yeah. Find me, Ricardo Allen 37. my Twitter. I ain't been on Twitter in a long time, man. Twitter tag you up now. If you're an athlete, I had to learn how to get away from Twitter a long time ago.
Oh, you read those comments, huh?
This is how they suck you in. And I always wonder. I was like, man, why do so many athletes get tied into reading the comments? But think about it. When you're coming from high school and you're going through college, the only way that you can find affirmation and, like, if you're doing good at those times, like, you're not being paid, you get it from social media majority of the time.
Sure.
So, yeah. Like,
or the newspaper, right?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
That's old school.
So, but it's essentially the same thing. So it's like you're reading somebody else's affirmation of, like, they telling you you're doing good. But then when you get into the league, man, it turns into a whole nother level. Nah, the kids probably got it bad now, because when I was growing up, like when we was growing up, it, like, social media wasn't as popping as it is now. Like, these kids have a million followers in high school.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, I was watching the LeBron James' son, the Sierra Cannon thing on IMDb. It's awesome. If you haven't watched that, they follow that best basketball team in high school right now. All those kids have a million plus followers. And then they were talking about two of their little brothers have more. I'm like, come on, bro. There's 9-year-olds that engaged, you know, like, that's scares me, man. And you've got the oldest kid between both of us, and it just, this technology thing is not slowing down. I mean, it's
my kid's not on social. My kid's not gonna be on social media. Like, I don't even have a TikTok. Like, I would have deleted my Twitter a long time ago. Like, if it wasn't just for, like, you know, simple, like, ad posts and stuff like that, like, or to, like, just help, like, because I know I can reach people if I need to, like, you know, post something to, you know, get out to, like, the masses or whatever. it's easy to just use that. So, you know, you don't want to delete a reach that you can get to people. But, like, other than that, man, like, that's what you see. Like, I don't really post a lot on my, like, social media. Like, I post on my feed to, like, most of it's, like, knowledge stuff. But other than that, like, I don't care about that, man.
You're one of the very few Instagram stories I'll click on just because it's usually funny and sometimes it's just, you know, or it's like kid stuff, you know, like I totally get it. You know, I'm like, that happened to me yesterday. Yep. You know, so no, I really enjoy your follow. So yeah, I just want to thank you again. It means a lot to everyone at Fourth Down Focus. You were able to share a little bit about your story. Please give us a like, subscribe to the show, and share it with a friend. If you have questions related to the podcast, suggestions for future topics and guests, or if you have feedback for the show, you can reach me, Dan Lundy, several ways. My website is fourthdownu.com. That's 4thdownu.com. My Instagram and Twitter are at fourthdownu, and on Facebook and LinkedIn, I am at Dan_Lundy. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you again next week with an exciting new guest. I hope 2021 is treating each of you well, and remember, in all things, give thanks.